Well, the eyes of the world are on Washington today, following the meeting on Friday between U.S. President Trump and Russian President Putin. You've got Ukrainian President Zelensky in Washington now. You've got some European leaders that are there as well. And this is going to roll along fairly quickly, it looks like. 10 o'clock our time this morning, the European leaders are expected to arrive at the White House. Then at 11 o'clock our time this morning, Zelensky and Trump are set to greet each other an hour after the European leaders have arrived, and they will then go into a meeting with each other in the Oval Office. Vice President Vance is also going to be part of that meeting with Zelensky. Then at noon, or just after noon our time, 2:15 Eastern, Trump will greet the European leaders in the state dining room for an hour after he begins his Oval meeting with Zelensky. And I think a lot of us are just wondering what that meeting with Zelensky is going to be like, the way that he was treated the last time he was at the White House. And then at 1 o'clock our time this afternoon, Trump and the European leaders will go into their meeting. Zelensky is also going to be part of that meeting. How long that meeting this afternoon will go, we'll just have to wait and see. But you know that U.S. President Donald Trump, once it's over, will have something to say. And we'll be keeping an eye on that. And I'm sure that President Zelensky will have something to say as well. We're hoping for something positive to come out of this, to perhaps bring an end eventually to the war that's been raging now for the better part of 3 years in Ukraine, between Ukraine and Russia. Thought we'd be able to get an interesting perspective on what's going on in that part of the world with Dale Eisler. And it's nice to reconnect with Dale after many, many years. He wrote a book about, 15 years ago or so, called Anton, A Young Boy, His Friend, and the Russian Revolution. For our Regina listeners, I suspect Dale Eisler, the name comes to mind. I think about my days at CJME in the late 70s, and Dale was part of the leader post at that time. And we're lucky enough to get him on the program here today. Hi, Dale.
Hi, Brent. It's been a long time, as you say.
Boy, sure has. I'm still here in Saskatchewan. You've been all over the place. What a career you've had.
Well, yeah, I've been around a little bit, but back home, you know, where I wanted to be ultimately again with grandkids and whatnot. So, yeah, all is good.
Are you actively working these days?
I am. I'm semi-retired. I'm a senior policy fellow at the Johnson Shyama Graduate School of Public Policy at the U of R and the U of S. So I do a little bit of work there, and I a little bit of consulting, not a lot. And I'm on the board of the Canada Energy Regulator, which is based in Calgary, of course, the old National Energy Board. So those sorts of things keep me involved, and I try to do a bit of writing still. So
nice. You yeah. did a couple dozen years as a journalist. You joined the government, the federal government, in 98. You were assistant deputy minister in the Department of Finance. You then went on to the Privy Council office. What an amazing career you've had, Dale.
Yeah, it's been interesting. You know, as a journalist, you're writing about government, obviously, and I was focused primarily on Saskatchewan, although not entirely in those days. So it was, you know, fascinating to get on the other side, inside government, and see how things work, and just the challenges that policy making entails. And unless you're sort of in there and grappling with sort of the trade-offs and whatnot, it's hard to fully appreciate it. It's, you know, you look at it from the outside and it can look fairly black and white, but it's never that way once you get in inside government.
Dale Eisler is our guest. Your book, Anton, A Young Boy, His Friend, and the Russian Revolution, came out, what, 2010, I do believe?
Yeah, 2010. I was living in the States in those days. But yeah, so it's been out for a number of years.
So what inspired you to write this book?
Well, that's a good question. And really, the inspiration dates back to my youth when I was growing up here in Saskatchewan. And my mother would sometimes, you know, this is back when I'm just a young boy, would talk about the day in July 1919 when she, as a young four-year-old, along with her seven brothers and sisters and their mother, saw her father executed, my grandfather. This took place in a small village near the Black Sea in what is now Ukraine. And interesting, my family, my ancestors, my mother and her ancestors were German. And they were part of the migration of German people under Catherine the Great, so we're going back a couple of centuries now or more, came and settled the farmland near the Black Sea, the Russian steppes, as it's called. So they were a part of that that migration, you know, 200 years ago. And they lived in, the villages they lived in tended to be, you know, based on, well, they were ethnic Germans, but based on religion. So they were Roman Catholic, so this was a Roman Catholic village. But there would be Lutheran villages and Mennonite villages in this whole area because there were so many Germans many, many years earlier had moved and settled there to farm, not unlike how Saskatchewan got settled.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Anyways, yeah, so it was that she would talk about, you know, that day, but she would get very emotional when she talked about it very quickly, you know, because of the trauma that she experienced as a young girl seeing her father shot and killed. And it was a story that really intrigued me that I wanted to somehow get at, but because she would get so emotional, but I could never really, you know, have any extended conversations with her about it and what it was like in those days. There were, you know, little fragments I would get. So ultimately, I decided, well, I'm going to write this story. It'll be historical fiction, but based on a true story. So that's what I did. And on what had happened on this day is Bolshevik militia. This was, you know, when the Russian Empire collapsed or fell in 1917, Ukraine declared, which was a part of the Russian, Greater Russia at that point, declared its independence. And there was a subsequent revolution, the Bolshevik Revolution, occurred, and there was civil war going on, and these Bolshevik militia rode into this small village and rounded up all the men and shot and killed them. And this was, they were trying to suppress the Ukraine independence movement. So, you know, this was obviously a very emotional time.
You traveled to Ukraine as part of your research?
Yeah, I did. Well, not for the research. I mean, I did a lot of reading on it and you know, historical documents and things like that. And I actually living in the States, and I got involved with the Germans from Russia Heritage Society, which is this national organization that actually exists in Canada, too. And it's amazing the number of German people with ancestry from Russia, this whole, you know, group of people. And they had a national organization in the United States. So I would, you know, use that as a source of background information and research. And they have national conventions, and you go there and they would have different discussion groups and people with, you know, who are very interested in their own heritage in that sense. So I used that and other documents that I could do to build a story. But it is fiction, so many of the characters are fictionalized. Many are based on true characters. So I had the liberty of it being historical fiction that I could, you know, I could build characters, you know, as best I could. And that's really how this story ultimately came together.
Dale Eisler, our guest on the Evan Bray Show, talking about his book, Anton, A Young Boy, His Friend in the Russian Revolution, and his experience for his family members and what they had to go through many years ago. And now when you hear Putin and Trump talking about maybe a land swap between Ukraine and Russia, I think most of us don't fully grasp that area of the world and how that border has really, in a lot of ways, been fluid over the years, hasn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Ukraine has a long and very complex history. It's, you know, been shaped by invasions and being part of empires, subjugated by other nations and empires, and then periods of independence. So this is just another kind of chapter in this. And when the book, I wrote a screenplay from the book, based on the book, which eventually got produced, and we shot the movie in Ukraine. So I was over there for that period when we were shooting the movie, and it was shot in a little village near Odessa in the Black Sea, very close to the original village where my mother came from, which doesn't exist anymore. And so I got to really appreciate getting to know some of the Ukrainian people involved with the production and whatnot, and the actors, just how strongly attached they are to the Ukrainian identity. And although many of them spoke Russian and Ukrainian, obviously, they really had a sense of who they were as Ukrainians. And I've stayed in touch with them during this period. And, you know, their resilience is truly remarkable, what they've been going through. And they mean, the ones I speak to, at least, remain absolutely committed to Ukraine as an independent nation. And, you know, the fact that this war has now gone on for over 3 years, and the expectation was, at least Putin thought he would, this would take a week. You know, I've long been of the view that Ukraine is winning the war. Mm-hmm. Here we are more than 3 years later, and there's been, you know, very little advancement by the Russians. They obviously made gains on the eastern side of Ukraine, but it's been slow and huge casualties and fatalities as a result. And I think it's amazing what Ukraine's been able to do. And I think that, you know, with the right support, continuing military support, they can fend off the Russians and ultimately, you know, come to terms that are going to be acceptable to them. But we'll see. Today's going to be a pivotal moment in all that.
Absolutely, because it will depend, I suppose, in large part, what the Americans decide they're going to do or not do. You know, it's great that so many of the European countries are backing Ukraine, but it's costing a lot of money. And the worry is, what's Putin's next step, and can they be trusted? I think a lot of people, when you hear Trump saying, Putin's agreed that he'll do this, he'll do that, and he'll put in guarantees and da-da-da, he's done that before and reneged on everything.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. I mean, can you really trust Putin? And I think the evidence is clear that you can't. And, you know, and that's what, you know, I know Canadian, we have strong feelings, pretty negative feelings about Trump in this country, given the way he's been treating Canada and whatnot, and rightly so. And I thought the spectacle in Anchorage last Friday, I guess it was, where the way he greeted Putin and the red carpet and all this sort of stuff. I mean, how disturbing is that? This man is a war criminal. He should be arrested. Right. And he's given this kind of treatment. And I understand sort of, you know, the politics of this and that you're trying to get the peace process moving. But it was so over the top in terms of the ceremony they put around the greeting of this guy, Putin. Just unimaginable that the president of the United States would behave that way with, you know, somebody like Putin. But, you know, I give Trump credit for trying to get the process moving. Mm-hmm. The question becomes, you know, what's the ultimate, what comes out of this at the end? And is it going to be something that Ukrainian people can accept?
It will be indeed an interesting day in Washington. Just a final thought. What about Canada's role in our supporting of Ukraine? Are we doing enough?
Well, I think we are. I think that, you know, there's a lot of diaspora from Ukraine here, and many have come over, you know, since the war has erupted. And are living in Canada. And I think that the Canadian government has been pretty steadfast in its support for Ukraine. But ultimately, we're not a major player here. And it's going to depend on the Europeans and the U.S., specifically, obviously, on how this thing plays out. And it's good to see that the Ukrainian or the European leaders are going to be in Washington today with Zelensky. Because I think that expression of solidarity is going to be, you know, really important in terms of what ultimately happens in the coming weeks.
If you want to read it, the book is called Anton, A Young Boy, His Friend in the Russian Revolution. Where can we see the movie, Dale?
The movie's on Prime.
Oh, good.
Yeah, so it's streaming on Prime, and it's called Anton. And the subtitle of the movie is Anton, The Trotsky Secret in the Russian Revolution. So it's, you know, the subtitle is slightly different because movies always are never exact replicas of books. But the storyline is the same.
All right.
Yeah, it's on Prime, and I think it's also on Tubi, T-U-B-I.
Yep.
And the book is available at theantongroup.org. It's likely, you know, the best place to get it. You can also get it from the publisher, which is Your Nicholsworth Publishing, which is based in Regina, and it's also on Amazon.
Good to hear. Boy, real pleasure talking to you, Dale. All the best.
Yeah.
And we'll keep our eyes on Washington today and hope for some good news there.
Yeah, great talking to you, Brent. It's good after all these years.
You bet. Dale Eisler joining us to talk about his book that he wrote 15 years ago, his travels in Ukraine, and his thoughts on what may or may not come out of these meetings in Washington today. This is the Evan Bray Show. Brent Lauk's filling in on CKOM and CJME. Good morning. morning, Saskatchewan. Brent Loux, happy to be filling in for Evan for a few days. I'm here today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. Evan taking a few days of summer holidays off. Great catching up with Dale Eisler and a couple of our listeners commenting at 1-877-332-8255. Ethel, thank you for the nice text. Says, enjoyed the interview with Dale Eisler. Such an interesting man. Dan, down in Swift Current. My roots on my father's side is exactly the same as Dale's. Same area of the world, same time period. I plan on reading his book. And yeah, and check out the movie that was made out of that book as well. You can find the movie on Prime. Anton, the book is called Anton, A Young Boy, His Friend, and the Russian Revolution. And it was nice hearing Dale's views on what may or may not happen today with these talks that are going on in Washington, D.C. Some other texts that came in on a different matter. I was sharing the story about the Minnesota garage mechanic who found a wallet in the engine compartment of a 2015 Ford Edge. It had been lost by the fellow who was working at the Ford assembly line 11 years earlier. Well, they all kind of came together and the fellow got his wallet back with $15 and $250 in Cabela's gift cards in it. And I was just saying, you ever have something you found just by fluke? Some interesting texts that have come in. Last summer, I was doing a reno on a house built in the early 80s. I was running a wire in the attic, found a pack of smokes under the installation. Calendar on it was 1981. Another listener, I'm a technician at a GM dealership. I found a kitten in the engine compartment of a diesel truck that had traveled over an hour to come to our shop. Other than being quite agitated, the kitten was alive and well. And also, I had one other one here. Where the heck did it go? Gary said, this is good, riding my motorbike in a field and I wiped out, landed right on a wallet in the middle of the field. What a fluke. It had 520s in it and all the ID of the guy who actually lived on my street. He had lost it 7 years earlier when he was snowmobiling. He was quite shocked when I showed up and he gave me a $20 reward. That's from Garth. It's all part of the Evan Bray Show on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.